Welcome to the Bad Weather Podcast. I am your host, Jonathan Miller. This is the sound of my voice. This is yet another repost for us from an episode from last year. Spring has sprung here in the beautiful St. Croix River Valley, and among that and other things, we are a little slow right now, but catching up soon, so keep an eye out for additional episodes soon, new ones, and also After Dark episodes. This episode was recorded last year live. It was a second part of a two-parter where we drank a little bourbon and got into some dating stuff. We had some technical difficulties recording, so keep an ear out for that, I suppose, and apologies in advance. Otherwise, I hope you enjoy and take very, very good care of yourself.
All right, everything sucks, but this podcast is pretty damn good, right?
Everything sucks. Just kidding. Everything is great. No, really, I haven't thought about my ex today. Oh, wait. Fuck, I just did.
But I went. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Welcome back to another edition of the Bad Weather Podcast. I'm one of the hosts, JP Hurley. Joining me for this episode, Brian Bad Weather Burns. I feel like I switch your nickname every single time we do a different one. I've used that one plenty of times.
So. Yeah, no, good to be here, JP. We just finished recording an episode, so this is like really fun to carry one topic right into another.
Yeah, we just finished drinking like a couple of glasses of whiskey, so I'm not sure how this one's going to go.
Oh, no, this is going to be the best one yet.
It might feel like the best one in the moment because of all the whiskey we drank, but like we listen to it back, it's going to be a disaster.
We will love it. Yeah, there's no question. What are you doing with that dog?
He insists on being on my lap.
I want to know.
This is my lap dog.
Also joining this week is Leo Miller, right? Does he have a full middle name?
Leo Dog.
Leo Dog.
Middle name is Dog.
Typhinated.
You know, it makes sense. Because that's what he is.
Yeah.
Name is Jonathan Human Miller.
I like it.
But Leo Dog.
But that isn't your name.
Is that not?
No, that is not your middle name.
Change
also, Leo, this show is for humans, not for dogs.
Well, Leo, tell us about interpersonal dog relationships.
Dogs get divorced.
That's not what this is about.
Sniffing asses and all of that.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, you are a cute dog. This isn't about you.
Okay. Let's go. Just kidding about Leo, but also joining this week, host Jonathan Ryan Miller, despite the popular belief that his middle name is Human. It's Ryan.
This is the sound of my human voice.
Nailed it. Every single time you nail it.
Every time. God. The only thing I can get right.
God, that feels good.
Yep.
We could probably just cut this one off, like just with you announcing the sound of your voice.
Thanks for joining. This has been the Bad Weather Pod.
Pod. Nicely done. By the way, if you've just recently listened to the last podcast, it was the Bad Weather Dating episode. We don't know what we're gonna title that yet, but First date.
Sure. Oh, okay, first
date.
Good.
It's called First Date, and this episode is called Second Date.
Second Date.
We had so many awesome, juicy topics to cover in the first date, which is kind of like a reality thing. Like, this is like what real life is like.
Just didn't have time to cover it in the first
date. Yeah, too much conversation for the first date. We have to have a second date, and I guess we're cool enough people where we got a second date.
That's right.
And we're going to go back into the topics again and talk about dating once more. Welcome to Second Date Bad Weather Podcast.
So we're going to make out on this one, right?
No, this is where we crash and burn.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
okay.
Basically.
Right. You want to know what's funny about
that?
There is, like, we just finished off the first date with like dating etiquette and tips and stuff. There is kind of like a built-in etiquette with how many dates before you make some sort of move and stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like the second date would be like the kiss, right? Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
If things went well and you got a second date, we're going to go on for the kiss now.
Maybe yes.
Not like gonna.
I think that's a good standard to set. Yes.
Yeah. Not gonna jam tongues or anything.
Well, you're just gonna peck her on the lips.
First, you're gonna feel it out.
Yeah. Dry peck. Feel it out. That's like third date material.
Base. Yeah, second base.
So first base, maybe some tongue if the moment feels right, but
maybe tongue.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
I like that. So that would be like the cap off of the dating etiquette first date episode.
Sure.
And this is the second date, and this date is going to be heavily welcome to Brian Burns' office. He's going to ask us, John and myself, all of the different dating questions, maybe just for him to kind of get an idea of what it was like for us or what it is currently like.
Later in the show, yeah, that'll happen. We do have to finish out that list that we started in episode. Or
that'll be part of this, yeah. That'll be
part one of this, okay. Yeah. Right.
Yep. So there was, for those that may not have listened to the last episode recently.
Get your ass back to the last episode.
We were kind of in the segment where it's JP Googles something, and we found an article when Googling Dating After Divorce 101. The website is mensdivorce.com, which was right in the pocket. We were on topic number two, which is dating etiquette, and we had three more topics to cover, three more points of these five pieces in the article. So we'll kind of continue on with that, right? And then we'll go into the Brian Burns office.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do all the things.
Yeah, let's wrap it up there, and then we'll get into the other meaty, juicy bits.
That's another tip right there. Wrap it up.
Oh, always wrap. Well, I mean, have a conversation first before you wrap it up, but let's
no,
make
just
sure.
Wrap, first date, wrap it up.
Just put it on before you
sure.
go. Just yep. go in. Go
sitting
in
there.
Yeah, slap it on preemptively.
Sitting there at the coffee shop.
Yeah, I mean, you just never know.
Flaccid.
You never know. I mean, that's. Do you do it differently? We need some more tips. Just a tip.
This is probably a whole other episode.
Okay, let's keep going, boys.
Okay, let's
stay
keep
on
going.
Track.
Okay. Mensdivorce.com, dating after divorce tips on getting back out there. Number three was don't rush back into a relationship. And again, we talked about this a couple episodes ago.
And the last episode.
A little bit in the last episode. Yep. Pretty sound advice. I don't think we need to really cover this too in
depth.
Let's just
make sure we draw a distinction between dating and relationships.
Go ahead.
Okay, dating is, you are meeting new people, they are your friends, or they maybe don't even have to be your friends, they are just people you are reaching out to and communicating with. That's not necessarily related. Oh, jeez, I just hit it. Fucking Ryan, it's hitting me hard. The relationship thing is like a distinction you have to draw, and you have to make a concerted effort to have that relationship. Dating doesn't have to be that. Don't get confused. Don't assume that like everybody I date is a relationship.
Dating's for fun, for experience, to meet people, to have good.
To figure out what you want and need.
Uh-huh.
Something I like that people recommend is like if you're getting back out into the world socially, you can have almost force yourself to have a relationship or conversations. With people who are potential relationship matches and people who are not. So you are at the pig fry. Pig roast?
Pig fry.
Yeah, everybody fries those pigs.
They fry pig. The town pig fry. Yeah.
I love a good pig
Welcome
fry.
Welcome to pig fry.
A good pig fry is hard to beat, yeah. Right? There's pickles, whatever. But there's like a random old guy standing next to you. Strike up a conversation with that random old guy. Now, I'm not telling you to fuck that guy. But have a conversation with just people. Just get out there and talk to people, right? The same thing goes for dating. You're just talking to a person, right? This isn't like, don't get all intimidated and weirding up in your head about like, oh, maybe this is my next whatever. Just have conversations with people. Whether that's at the random pig fry or you're down at the 7-Eleven or you're buying groceries and somebody asks you to grab some pickles off the top shelf. Just be in the mode of connecting with people, conversation style.
So as a therapist, I'm begging you, do not commit yourself to another person before you're ready to commit yourself to another person.
Yeah.
Commit yourself to yourself, to meet people, to have experiences, to hopefully have some fun. Also, it'll be a bit stressful, but committing yourself to another person is just make sure you're ready for that because you probably have some kids and you probably have some time to take care of yourself first.
Yeah.
Okay, enough of my rant.
Yeah, totally. I want to be real clear about like dating can just be meeting other people, talking to other people, and it doesn't have to be committal or anything else. Be like real free and open. Be okay dropping that if it's not what you want, and be okay continuing it if it's something that feels right. Yeah. And if it feels right for a while and then it stops feeling right, be okay to drop that too.
Stop feeling it. Right?
Sure.
So I think that one's pretty well covered in recent episodes, and that's a nice little recap of that. Number four was don't bring up the divorce too soon. Man. I like that shirt. You want me to get some of the sub copy on this?
Please do.
That's debatable.
While interesting conversation is now more vital than ever when it comes to dating, don't get caught up in the details of your divorce on the first few dates. You will be talking a lot about your lives, but try to gloss over the unpleasant details until you've made a firm connection with somebody.
Okay.
This feels like an etiquette question. Like, don't do a ton of personal sharing. Like, don't go super deep about yourself in a way that's personal. Because until you know someone well, I think that's not great boundaries. I think it to be vulnerable in that way without knowing what you're doing. I mean, it's easy to be vulnerable with strangers, like on the plane or whatever, like out in public, because it's low stakes.
There's low stakes.
You'll never see this person again. And, and that's not what I'm talking about.
Yep.
I'm talking about if you're dating to potentially meet people, to like lay everything out in the beginning, it might feel good, but I don't know that it's wise or is well boundaried. Like, keep it on the lighter side. Like, err on that side and don't ask like why they got divorced or what happened in their marriage until maybe the third or fourth date.
And I would say if the person you're going out on a date with goes into the old relationship and the divorce really quickly, it's probably a pretty big red flag. Like, they're still stuck on that, maybe.
Yeah, I would say this, like everything else we talk about on this podcast, this is like a gray area.
Sure.
You find yourself connecting over something similar that the two of you experienced in your former relationship or that you're going through with your divorce. That can be, we talked about this in the mistake podcast too, like that can be a healing experience, and whether that leads to a relationship or not, that can be beneficial no matter where the relationship goes from there. So yeah, be honest and be open and don't make the whole thing a sad sack story about your former spouse or whatever, but also don't be afraid to be open about the things that are on your mind. I mean, it depends where you're at in your you get all flowery and stupid, where you're at in your journey, you know. Feel out the relationship, the conversation. If that's where the conversation is leading you, and you talk about those things, and you find out both of you are on the same page, fine, great. That's not necessarily turning anybody off. Maybe it is, and then fine, then they can go on down the road and find somebody who's not had a real life experience.
I do think that generally speaking, the majority of women or men would probably be a little bit turned off by somebody bringing up an ex really early in the dating experience. Like a first date, first couple hours, and they start blabbing about their ex, that's a problem. Like, it's just a red flag. Like, they're probably kind of hung up on that, and they you know, and unless like the conversation naturally goes that way or something, and it's like the person that you're dating is asking probing questions about your, like, you should stay in the surface with that stuff. Like, you know, what happened? Like, because that's a pretty common question in dating. What happened with your marriage? Like, you know, it's
definitely is for me.
Yeah, it's she wouldn't do the dishes the way that I liked.
I want to know. I want to know what happened in their former relationship.
Which so is that fine, I pick think out you need to stay flags. On the surface. Like, you don't go into like the psychology and like you're dwelling on this and you're deep into the topic.
Well, now we're talking about how your old Johnny Miller gets into trouble when he's on dates. But I think, look, if you have kids with this former spouse, this is a ongoing relationship you have with your ex. Mm-hmm. And that's going to come up.
Oh, yeah, eventually.
You're going to be talking about that.
I think, yeah, it's like date one is for discovery. Like, you're discovering what this person is like, you know, their personality. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, like getting deep into the like past relationships is something for later.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think there's lots of good questions you can ask to get to know someone that isn't that one. And you'll get to that one.
I think that's fair. Yep. I like it. What do you got next?
All right, number five, according to this website, mensdivorce.com, dating after divorce tips. I'm getting back out there.
Thanks for giving them a free plug, by the way.
Yes, mensdivorce.com.
.com.
One divorce at a time. I don't know if that's a slogan.
One at a time.
I don't know.
That's what I would recommend. I wouldn't recommend doing two of these.
No. Number five is relax, be yourself, and have fun.
hey, telling someone to relax is fucking just not going to work.
Miller, relax. God.
Yeah, sure.
I want to read the subtitle here.
That's not triggering at all.
Just relax. Calm down. Calm down, relax.
Stupid. Come on.
Dates are never going to go over well if you're constantly worrying. Once you can get out over the initial fear of wondering whether you're doing things completely wrong, you'll notice that dating is much more relaxed than when you were younger.
If you can pull that off, yeah. But be sure you are relaxed in your own personal life before you go out and bring that shit to other people.
Okay.
So I think, you know, on a website telling people like a top tip is to relax, it's pretty surface and not really intuitive.
How do you relax then? Do you flog the dolphin before the first date?
No. No, you have to be comfortable with yourself.
The guppy. You flog the guppy.
Flog the guppy. No, you have to be comfortable with yourself. You have to have a base level of self-confidence that if this goes south, it's okay. You don't have to hold on to this with all your worth. And if it goes well, be cautiously optimistic. But be relaxed is... I don't know. That's not actionable.
Mm-hmm. I agree and I disagree.
Hit it, yeah.
Yeah, like you can't command your nervous system to just relax.
Yeah.
But you can
prepare for that.
You
right?
can with alcohol.
You can.
Yeah.
You can remind yourself that this is for fun. This is for experience.
That's good. Yes.
This is not meant to be the only way that I can succeed in my life and be a real valuable person.
Right. The stakes are low.
Uh-huh. Like these are all thoughts that don't necessarily immediately change the way your nervous system feels, but they certainly can't hurt. So I think that's the point. Like have an attitude that isn't about make or break, you know, black or white. This is just an attitude about, hey, this is hard, but I'm going to try to make the best of it and have some fun and not take myself too seriously.
This is why I draw the correlation between just having a conversation with a random person on the street or the random person in the grocery store and like the date thing, which like you hype yourself up for and all that shit. Like a person at the grocery bagging line asks you a question about something you're buying. That's a real low stakes, and if you're not attracted to them, it's even lower stakes. Who cares? The same is true for going on a first date. Like maybe you're attracted to this person, but like on a visceral, normal level, like this is just you interacting with another person.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the sexual attraction and whether or not you want to take them home or not, or whether
or what's going to happen tomorrow.
What's going to happen tomorrow, or whether this person validates your existence or whatever. That's all for something else. What you're doing right now is just meeting another person. Wherever they're at, talking to them, telling them where you're at, and that's it.
Yeah.
And also just remember to flog that dolphin and wear a condom.
Flog that gummy and wrap it up.
Yeah.
Put on a condom before the date.
Uh-huh. Yep. Safe sex. Good advice.
If you are lucky enough to be out on a date with an attractive person, just treat them like any old man that you meet at the hardware store.
Well.
Okay. We need to get to Brian's questions because I have
that
some
was
questions.
17 minutes in.
That was.
Did we finish our list?
That was number 5 of 5. That
Excellent.
Website has been exhausted. Thank you, mensdivorce.com.
Thank you.
This has been JP Google something.
The first ever segment to span across 2 entire episodes.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a milestone.
It's trippy.
That's a milestone. I am wearing a condom. Well, go ahead, Brian. Wait, do you want to set us up for... This is Brian's office.
Are we doing this? Are we doing Brian's office?
Yeah, we are.
We're doing this.
Absolutely.
Now's the time. Where you walk in, there's Steely Dan playing on the radio. I realize my voice may be lower now, but Steely Dan is playing on the radio. Brian's office is open. You walk in. You pull the door shut behind you. Brian asks you to take a seat.
No, Brian says, my day is so much better because I'm talking to you.
It's true.
Today.
He does say that. He makes you feel like the most important person on the fucking planet.
I,
whether he cares about you or not.
He says that to his clients.
He,
You don't say that to everybody, dude.
No, I don't. I was in such a bad mood until you came. I'm on top of the world now.
I thought I was a special boy. Do you say this to everybody?
No, I do not say that to everybody.
But I will before Brian begins. There is a sensor on Brian's doors as you walk in, and you, as you break the sensor, it goes bing bong, so that he knows you're there.
Sure. It's just like the 7-Eleven.
Anyway, it's time for Brian Burns. Welcome to Brian's office.
Welcome to Brian's office. Yeah. Have a seat.
So ask us questions.
I do have questions. My questions today are about dating specifically, and I'm so curious to hear from John Miller about, so you decided to get back on the dating apps.
I did this week, probably Monday or Tuesday I did, yes.
Welcome back.
Yeah, right.
Well, you were pretty burned. Like, I that's my... you know, way of understanding it. Like that was like, that just kicked your ass and you needed a break.
Yep.
And, but I didn't know if it was a break or what.
I didn't intend to ever get back on it. And then eventually, I guess I just decided like, well, what the hell, what do I have to lose? Right. Summer's coming up, you know, and hot girl summer is a thing. And so chicks will get on the apps. And I thought,
Is that it though? Is that what?
No, there's lots of other things.
Yeah. Like
there's other reasons.
Yeah. Tell me why or us. You know, how did you decide to get back on the apps? Was it a choice?
Well, it had to be. I mean, I had to make my finger do the thing.
Ah, fingers do things.
Whoa! Really? On their
own? The dolphin.
I did make the choice to go back on the app. I had been thinking about it for a little bit. And I did it because I had been off since... I don't know, for 4 months maybe.
Yeah, that's a long time.
3 or 4 months. I had dated a few people, you know, in other avenues besides dating apps. I found people that were interesting to talk to, but were not like good long-term partners, and thought, well, I think I'm in a position where I can do that again. I have the energy for that, but also coupled with like, I have the energy to approach people in person as well and kind of just attack it from a few different angles. Yeah.
So you felt the energy to meet people, to like put yourself out there.
I guess I did.
And make connections, yeah, both on the app and in person.
Yeah, I didn't realize this when I deleted the app in February or whatever. I didn't realize it, I think, then, but I was just overwhelmed and I just did not have the energy to do that anymore. I had done it. I had done enough. I had been on enough first dates. I was tired. I had told everybody I knew, Hurley and you, Brian, and everybody else we know, I was tired of first dates.
50
first dates. Fucking tired of first dates.
Yeah.
And I guess I got to the point where it was like, well, you're gonna have to start somewhere. My mom, I was supposed to have a date on Saturday. You know, the Bad Weather podcast has learned that this date on Saturday has now been canceled because I have 3 kids, and she's not into that.
Sorry.
I was telling my mom about that. She's like, "What are you doing this weekend?" And I said, "Maybe seeing somebody on Saturday." And she said, "Oh, is this a new person?" And I said, yes, Mom, they're all new people.
So you got your mojo back.
I don't know, a little bit.
Okay, yeah. So these things come in cycles? Like, you were feeling pretty down, like it just wasn't going to happen for you or something?
It's just enough, like life is enough without... having to look, you go on enough first dates and it's like, what are we doing?
No, I can see that taking a ton of energy, emotional energy.
Yeah, and you just don't get anywhere.
Yeah,
and you meet so many people and you say no to so many people. Essentially, you're saying no to everybody you date that you don't want to go on a second date with, right? It takes a lot to do that.
Yeah, that's depleting.
Yeah, it's no. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
It's like we all got an emotional battery inside, and it, you know, like batteries.
Well, it's like
sometimes they're full and sometimes
it's like we were talking about in the last podcast. Like you're gonna go through the app and you're gonna find something you like about each profile you see, and you're gonna swipe right because you see the right profile, or you're gonna make a comment or whatever, you see a thing you like in that profile,
And you're going to do that 500 times. And you're going to hear back from 3% of those people. That's a lot. That's a lot of you liking a thing and getting nothing back from that person.
How's it going so far?
Oh, it's fucking depressing. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's I'm having
depressing
been,
today.
No,
depressing
I haven't been
yesterday.
Doing it. I haven't been doing it long enough for it to be depressing. But okay. It is fruitless. It's fucking fruitless. You see a lot of people with a lot of potential that you know if you met them, these things would be great. But as we talked about on our last episode, those women are overwhelmed with thousands and thousands of other guys who feel the same way. And so you're just gonna have to like hope one of them sees you at some point. And great, and maybe they do, and then you go on a date, and then maybe it doesn't work.
So,
and that's just the app is a shit ton of effort, a shit ton of emotional effort for like very little payoff.
Okay, that's what I want to hear about.
Yeah.
So, in the last week, let's say, when you've been having your mojo back and like putting yourself out there, expending some energy with dating.
Yeah.
Or attempting to be dating.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, what feels like moments that you can be proud of, or moments that feel like,
it
didn't pay off, but...
The only thing I can be proud of, we talked about this too, the approaching people in the wild, in person. That's it. The swiping and the chats and the conversation on the app is what it is. It's social media. It's fleeting. It's not substantial. It leads almost 100% leads to nothing.
What are you proud of?
Approaching people in the wild.
And? Well, give me a story or something.
Okay.
Like
Mother's Day.
What happened?
So on Mother's Day, I dropped my kids off with their mom and then went to my favorite... restaurant in town and had breakfast at the bar before I went to meet my mom. And a waitress who I had never seen there before was like standing next to me at the little point of sales console. And I said to myself, this is a person you're going to talk to before you leave. And so I did. I made like a commitment to myself to go talk to her. And when I got up to leave and she was like working on the back patio, and I stopped her and said, hey, I was sitting in there having breakfast and told myself I wanted to talk to you before you leave. You're gorgeous. And are you single? And she like looked off into the middle distance for a minute and then said, no, I'm seeing somebody, but thank you for, asking or whatever. And I said, great. Well, thanks for today serving me. I don't know. I didn't say that, but. Whatever I said. Yeah. I said something.
Yeah.
And then I went off about my day.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's...
You open your mouth.
That's a kind of a rejection, kind of?
Yeah.
It's not the outcome you want.
Right.
But I walked away, and I was telling Hurley about this earlier today. I walked away from that experience feeling positive about it. It wasn't the outcome I was looking for, but I still felt good about the interaction.
Well, that's huge, and good job, by the way.
I never feel good about the interaction on a dating app when I strike up something with somebody and it goes away.
Okay. But this in-person experience.
But in person, when you strike up something with someone and it goes away because of whatever, like you get all the like mainline, you can tell they're interested or not. You can tell they're flattered by being asked in person. Like it doesn't happen a lot. A lot of guys don't. Approach women in the wild.
No, I bet they don't.
So
why is that? Why do you walk away from live interactions with a rejection? Why do you feel better about that than when you walk away from a...
Because you had skin in the game. Because you put yourself out there in person, made eye contact with a human and said, do you like me? Are you available for me?
Interesting. So the live, the eye contact changes... The
stakes. The real life, the meat space shit of it is that's all of it. That's everything.
Yeah, it's like not like a video game that you're playing or just like a numbers game.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you'd think that maybe most guys would feel the heat of rejection more in person than they would online.
That's interesting.
Never felt it.
Well, I mean, that reminds me of one of my favorite movie quotes. which is Matt Damon in
E.T. Phone Home. Oh, it's a different movie.
What's the movie?
We bought a zoo.
Yeah, or Identity. Bought a zoo, yeah, or something.
Porn.
And he's talking to his kid about when he first met the her mom, who had died, I think, in the movie, and he like she's just this gorgeous girl that Matt Damon's character saw from a coffee shop window, and she was walking by.
Yeah,
you remember this?
Yes.
And he said to his daughter, "What did he say? 6 seconds of insane courage can change your life."
Yeah.
But it takes 6 seconds or 8 seconds or whatever of insane courage.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm a married guy, and I haven't had to do this kind of thing for years. But to say to an attractive woman who you are interested in, like, hey, are you single?
Yep.
Like, that takes insane courage.
Yep.
I think.
It's a lot.
You did it.
Yeah.
Is this the 6 seconds in bed, or is this like when you interacting with her?
You're asking her, would you like to enjoy 6 seconds in bed with me later?
That's where my head went.
This is like taking the 6 seconds to stand up, look someone in the eye, and say, you're an interesting person.
Yep.
Are you single?
Yep.
And I'm Matt Damon.
And you want to get to know me, and also I'm Matt Damon. Yeah. I was in the market.
Also.
And I just bought a zoo.
Yeah. Right.
And then the girl says, Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne.
You say, how do you like them apples?
No, but what's cool about that is that you were courageous. You put yourself out there. And yeah, you got rejected. Like the outcome wasn't what you would want it to be.
Yeah.
But you still felt good about yourself.
Absolutely.
Walking away from it.
Absolutely. And I did this. I had another similar interaction. Then later on Mother's Day, when we went to a winery, my mom and her husband were hanging out, and there was a woman at the table next to us with her mom and her sister, I think, and I approached her. Similar situation. She was already in a relationship, but we had a great conversation. She was cute. She was funny. She laughed at my jokes. Good.
Yeah.
Good. I left. Yeah. That was fine.
You are a funny guy.
Thank you. Funny looking. Hey.
Yeah. And that.
But like a clown.
But all that is like, so like the dating app is like, we were talking in the previous recording, part one or whatever, about like, that's a tool in the belt or whatever. But like, that's a, if you're a carpenter and you have a tool belt, your chisel takes up a little space in your belt, right? That's the dating app. Like the dating app is like, you don't use your chisel all the time, but it's there and it's like good. It works. But your hammer, that's your main tool. Your hammer is meeting people in person.
Can I please?
Of course.
Oh, I love laying that hammer down. That's the best tool to do about, man. I'm with that sucker as much as I can.
That's your big tool, man. That's a two-hander.
Oh,
that big tool.
Thanks, Brian.
I like that little like miniature screwdriver.
I mean, it's not the size of the tool.
It's the precision with which one wields it. Okay. Wow. That's always fun. So next question is, I'm just replaying or reviewing what I know. You hit the dating scene pretty hard soon after you separated.
Yeah.
And were living on your own, and you know, you had a lot of dates, I think. Like,
yeah.
Like every weekend or
yeah.
meeting people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you burned out.
Yeah.
For good reasons.
Yeah.
Now you're back at it.
I'm just
kind of
just winding up to burn out again.
Well, renewed energy, renewed focus, renewed wisdom, I think.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, more.
Wisdom is up for debate.
Experience.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So, like, we can't predict the future, and we don't have to, but I think it's safe to say, like, it's hard to maintain a level of focus and energy and motivation. Like, what do you see happening?
I think it has to fit in your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right? So you can't just make it like 100% of your life. Like, I'm just going to be a dating guy. That's just the guy I am. I'm just focused 100% on dating. There's a balance, right? So there's a balance in like, make the dating app a little bit of your your tool belt and meet people in the real world a little bit too.
Yeah.
But focus on the rest of your life too, and don't make it a make or break if you meet somebody and if it goes wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
It's all a balance.
Well, it seems like there's just not a consistent path for this kind of energy.
No.
For this kind of approach.
No.
I hope that you can just have patience with yourself, forgive yourself for when you just not up for it or when you need to take a break. It's not a matter of you failed. It's just a matter of your battery's depleted. You know, like humans aren't robots, and we have to. There's a season for things.
The patience part is hard. I'll be honest with you guys. Like here we are on the podcast. Being honest with you guys.
Yeah.
It's hard to see like so many people in your life. In relationships, and you are having trouble finding someone, and part of that is like my standards are pretty high, and part of that is like
nothing wrong with that.
I just don't. I'm not in a place to give myself away to anybody, just anybody
yep.
at all.
Yep.
I
like it,
but you know it ain't easy because that's the thing you want. Like you you have a goal, right? Everybody, hopefully, in your life, you have goals. What do you want to achieve? You want to get that degree, or you want to get the promotion, or you want to buy that new car, or you want to get a bigger house, or all those things you're striving towards.
Get a nice hammer.
All those things you're striving towards, you can lay out like specific path to going to those places. But with a relationship, go ahead and lay that path out. And let God laugh in your face. Like you can't.
Yeah,
there's.
Yeah.
You can you can grind it out. You can do the scientific JP. You can do the scientific method of figuring out what pictures work best on your profile and what prompts work best on your profile and what gets most attraction or whatever. Fine, but you still might not meet. I mean, you did that. I don't know how long you did that on the app, but you never found anybody on the app to be a long. Yeah, right. Not 82 years, but. Long enough that it should have worked, and you never found anybody on the app that was like worthy of a long-term relationship, right?
Yeah, maybe.
I have a question for JP, but hold on. I feel like you, like John, and I say this with a ton of love and respect, which is very genuine. You're a guy who's probably like a lot of listeners that just puts his whole heart into. What he loves, what he cares about, what he wants.
That's the risk, yeah.
Yeah, but then you get your whole heart fucking stomped on.
Exactly.
And you have to just retreat and kind of go into the corner of self-pity and woe is me. And I'm not saying that like there's a sense like that's a failure or you shouldn't do that. I think that's part of being human when you put your whole heart into something.
The razor's edge is... protecting yourself, but also being vulnerable.
Oh, so hard.
That's it.
So hard.
That's everything.
So I would just love it if listeners could see themselves in you and give themselves permission to feel shitty and depressed and like in the corner
yeah.
sometimes because, you know, you don't get what you want in life.
Right.
There's just no way to guarantee that. But you try and you put yourself out there. And if it doesn't work, then you kind of need to recoup.
You got to build your reserves and your foundation to know that like these things don't work and that's fine. I had two people today
to
tell me that they didn't want to pursue a relationship with me because I had too many kids.
I mean, the kids aren't going to go on the date.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Oh, the kids aren't going, right?
The kids aren't going on the date.
I mean, like,
does she know that?
No, I always bring the kids. The first date is always me and the kids.
Oh, gotta vet them out.
Come on.
See what they're capable of.
She can't handle these kids.
They all sit on her lap, see if they all fit. Yeah.
If she can't handle the kids on the first date.
You force your kids to call her mommy.
Two people today said, not willing to pursue a relationship because you have kids. Fine. That's fine.
Yeah. They're looking for a 25-year-old.
Look, there is a level of like building up a thicker skin. But it's like we're talking about. You build a skin, but you have to be true to yourself.
Yeah.
So you can't.
I mean, I have friends who are just fully through the looking glass of, like, building a thick-ass skin and, like, not letting anybody else in. And so they're just going to fuck around for the rest of their lives until something falls apart. And that's not the mode I'm in either. But it's hard. It's hard to live on this edge. The place you get hurt, the place you get hurt if you are in the ocean is not on the shore. And it's not way out past the breakers. It's right there where the waves break, in the middle. That's where you get hurt.
Yeah,
and that's sure. And that's where you live. That's where life happens. So it's hard to place yourself in that middle zone, and be vulnerable and try to protect yourself at the same time, be available but not be destroyed. That's the middle zone. That's the hard place to live.
And you do get destroyed.
You can.
Yeah,
but you then gotta be able to swim, baby.
But then you pick yourself.
Gotta
back
be
up.
Able to live there. You know, that's all of life. Yeah. You put Hurley. You go to the gym, right? It's uncomfortable
every day.
It's uncomfortable. You get on that elliptical. It hurts. You start lifting shit. It hurts.
Yep.
Right. That's the middle zone. You put yourself in that middle zone to get beat up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's life. Everybody.
When you do that on purpose, you know, like it's okay.
Dating's the same way.
That's a good point. You are putting yourself on purpose.
And are you building a muscle while you're dating?
Yes.
I guess so.
You're building self-confidence. You're building experience. You're building wisdom and judgment. Yeah. The ability to be courageous and genuine.
Finding out what you want.
So, yeah. John, you said early in the podcast on one of Brian's first questions that you're back on the dating scene and it's fucking miserable. Those are your words.
Yeah,
or I think you said fucking depressing.
Kind of
fruitless.
Yeah, fruitless. I think that's
miserable.
I would characterize it as fruitless.
But maybe you kind of realized that like you were building towards something without even knowing it.
Sure. Yeah.
You're building yourself.
We
don't know if you're building a future.
Here's what I think we're building. I think we're building a resistance to the stupid dating app. It's a game. There's a gamification there. You swipe left on people, they pop back up in your feed. Like the algorithm is telling you like, oh, maybe this is a good match, and you're like, no, it's not a good match. You're seeing people you're attracted to, and whatever. Yeah, maybe I'm building myself up, but I think the risk is like you build yourself up to a point where it's just you just don't need it anymore.
Yeah,
and you're tired.
Well, I've heard. I mean, I can't think of any specific anecdotes other than to say with the hundreds of people that I've talked to post divorce that are dating and using apps, I can't think of one person that says they like it.
Yeah,
I can't think of one person that hasn't said. This really sucks, but it's leading to something that I want, so I'm willing to.
They think it is, or they hope.
Well,
it is.
I mean, if you don't think it will, then you shouldn't do it. But the fact is that millions of people do it and it works.
Can I interject
and
say that I got to a point while I was doing it that it was really kind of fun, and I think that maybe. That could be the goal, like for people that like hate it or find it miserable.
Yeah.
Find a way to make it fun, and then it's not so arduous, you know.
How long did that last? That phase.
It was evergreen. I think I got to a point early on where I hated it, and like I was just like, John, there's definitely a thing to be said for app fatigue, but then I found different ways to like look at it and have fun. Like, I was entertaining myself. It wasn't about it became about something else besides meeting somebody and more about like being entertained by it and having some fun.
Yeah, like gaming it. So and by how long did that last? Like, when did you stop having fun with it?
I never stopped. It was fun.
Still having fun.
So you're still on it?
I'm not still on it. As you said, I'm in a relationship, so it stopped when I was.
And you didn't find your relationship in the app.
And I will say, this is a really fucking big point that I want to make as an overarching theme to all of this conversation about dating.
Yeah.
Meeting somebody in real life and having the authenticity of that exchange that you can have with somebody means 1,000 times more than meeting somebody on an app.
Fucking A.
So while I did find some fun in an app, and like there were times when, you know, it became less depressing, less fucking depressing, as Miller said,
mm-hmm.
meeting somebody in real life and mm-hmm. pursuing somebody in real life means so much more.
This is kind of my point.
Yeah.
This is kind of my point.
Your
so
point is proven. I think the
dating app is like a wide shotgun net of like.
Yeah.
It serves its purpose though. Sprint.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Like for you.
You're getting practice, and you're understanding things about yourself, your preferences, what you're looking for in a person.
Yeah.
And you're not having to test those things out in real life. You're
Here's
using practice. Those things.
Here's what the dating app is. You ready?
Practice. We talking about practice.
Not a game.
Practice.
Here's what the dating app is. You guys ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Dating app is a shooting range. Dating app is sporting clays or trap shooting or something like that.
Yeah.
You can go out on a sporting clays range and shoot 50 clays and come back with a 36, and you feel pretty good about yourself. But there's no meat in the freezer.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair.
you get me?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I think that's right, which is valuable because that's, you know, you're practicing your marksmanship.
Yeah.
If you've never shot a shotgun, if you don't know what it feels like to get kicked, then you should go shoot some clays.
I agree.
I will say one thing, though, that while like what we're saying about meeting somebody in real life is probably like the most authentic way to do it, to go about it.
Yeah.
There is the very small chance that a very strong connection can be made in a dating app.
So you're saying you're out there on the sporting clays range and an actual grouse gets up and flies out in front of the bird and you
happens.
Shoot it, and then you happen to have your dog at the sporting
That's what I'm saying. Your dog jumps out of your car. You left the car door open.
Okay. We're talking about a minuscule possibility.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Very minuscule.
Yeah,
I watch.
That's fine.
I will say, I'm going to use an analogy. I watch the smuttiest, shittiest show of all time on Netflix called Love is Blind.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I've watched it
properly characterized.
And once every like maybe 10 seasons of shows like this, there's actually a real connection that's made.
Real my ass. 3 months from now, they're divorced and they have like kids with somebody else.
That's probably like the most common scenario.
Yeah.
But once in a while, there's like a real ass fucking connection that takes place in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
And it's the one and only like one in a million chance. And like that would have never happened without this show. Like these two people in different cities, different walks of life would have never met each other without that thing. And that thing could be like an app, you know, like, and it's a very minuscule chance.
Long shot.
That's what people are doing though. That's what people are doing in the app is for that small chance. It's a lottery.
Small
chance of winning a lottery.
Totally.
You might find like a perfect connection and like, this is your person.
It is the lottery.
And it wouldn't have, like you wouldn't,
wouldn't
be in Invergrove Heights. Like,
okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The app is the lottery. And meeting people in real life is your full-time job. So you're not going to rely on the lottery to pay your bills. But maybe it pays off.
Yep.
But you got to have a full-time job of get yourself out in the world, meet people, do things, FaceTime, real FaceTime, not stupid app, Apple FaceTime. That's your full-time job. Your full-time job is interact with people, be social with people, say hi and glad hand and shake hands with the old guy at the fucking grocery store and whatever.
At the pig fry.
Maybe he's got a granddaughter who's
your
type.
Be nice to Carl the pig fry.
At the pig fry, the guy's frying the pig. Be friendly. That's it. I like this. I like the app as the lottery and it's the training ground, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And the real world is... Because, look, man, you meet somebody in the real world, and they make you smile, and you make them smile. That's more than anything you can do on a fucking app.
And you know what, Miller?
By 1,000%.
You want to know what?
What?
Even if you have a great job, a full-time job and a salary, if the Powerball gets up to $2 billion, it's okay to play that once in a while. So do both.
Yeah, no, I agree. But well, don't rely on the Powerball to pay
lottery.
Your bills.
Yeah.
So I just have to jump in to speak to the millions of men who are probably listening, millions of men.
I like this. We're switching from like 10 guys. We have millions of guys.
The millions of men. The millions of men and women.
Who are I like how you've manifested like another.
Listening to this.
9,900,000 guys.
Or probably not listening to this, but we're still speaking to.
No, it's millions.
They'll hear it.
Collectively.
It's millions.
That they just aren't comfortable enough to talk to people in person in the wild.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just too scary.
Yeah.
By personality or opportunity or, you know, like people work remotely from home and just really struggle to find ways to be in public.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. Like, the apps are there for a reason. And don't judge yourself if that's the best move you've got. Mm-hmm. Because I've met hundreds, maybe thousands,
millions.
But hundreds of people that have, I asked, you know, how'd you guys meet? And they said, oh, we met on an app.
Really? Hundreds?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably 50%.
Just an, and you have to assume it's a dating app, right? Not just like HelloFresh.
Yeah. I'm probably grouping in like Facebook, you know, like we connected on Facebook because we were...
We knew
each other
DMs
earlier
are dirty.
Yeah.
So people meet each other online. And like that's a valid way to do it. It's not second. It's not the like the default that if you're not man enough,
sure,
that's the only option.
That's
what I'm saying.
No, I hear you. I think I would encourage those guys though to at least have conversations in person,
just
as much as possible.
6 seconds or 10 of
insane encouragement.
Wrap it up and have some insane courage.
Yeah,
I like this.
Yeah, it might work out.
I think we're good here. What do you guys think?
I have one burning question.
Oh, God.
It is
time for the Brian Burns. Ouch.
Burning question.
You're riling Leo up. He's going to start licking
Chill.
Me.
Yeah. Relax.
Leo dog. He's excited.
Peanut butter. So JP, what would you say is like your most embarrassing moment that came about from dating apps?
That's great. That's good. Damn.
Uh-huh.
This is not embarrassing, but it's kind of a overall embarrassing thing, but it's a fun dating story.
Okay.
We have to ask Miller this question too.
No. He's already talked about
it.
No, we're
going to
have to ask
Miller. Yeah, we're doing this. Okay, so I connected with this girl on Hinge of all. So if you listen to the last episode, I was a big proponent of Hinge.
We're endorsers of Hinge.
Big fan.
Endorser of Hinge.
They don't pay us. Hinge is the best app.
Met this girl. Great. Had great conversation. I followed the dating etiquette. I asked for a date pretty quick. We met at this place, and for like 2 hours, we had a pretty good date. And it's an inside joke. It's my thing where if the date's going well, I'll order a charcuterie board.
This is my favorite thing about you. Of all the things I love about you, this is my favorite thing about you.
There's layers of this. So like I'll always do want a glass of wine, and if the date's going well, I'll do two glasses of wine. If it's going really well, I'll do a charcuterie board.
If you get it, if you're on a date with Hurley and he orders a charcuterie board,
that's a great sign.
That's so
you
funny.
Clear your calendar for June and July.
By the way, charcuterie is really hard to say when you've been drinking whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny. Whenever I'm out with my wife at a restaurant and I see a couple with a charcuterie board, I think that's a date.
That's going well.
You're fucking right. That's a date.
That's a date.
That is designed in a lab to be a. Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, I was on a date with this girl. It was going well. Great conversation. I noticed within myself that the physical chemistry just wasn't there for me. But I was really enjoying like the conversation, and like Miller has been saying,
big deal.
This episode is
big
like,
deal. Keep track of that. Yeah.
It was kind of fun to like. Have a rep and like have practice and flex that muscle and like work, you know, this is a date. It's fun. The date came to an end, a conclusion. I gave her a hug. We went our separate ways. We got to do more of these real life examples, by the way.
Sure.
These are great.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody lives for
all right. Well, you want to record a three-peat? We can do that.
Yeah. We went our separate ways. I got to my car and I got distracted by a friend of mine, Mr. Miller, sending me text messages, and
this
I was chatting with him.
This is the sound of my voice.
Exactly. I ended up going out again to like to hang out with some friends at the time, mm-hmm. and while I was hanging out with friends, we ended up kind of staying out the rest of the night and just enjoying ourselves and talking and stuff. At the end of the night, when the night was done, I noticed from this person, and I think in the last episode we talked about what the etiquette is with like
the reaching timing.
Back out. The timing
yeah.
of like,
yeah, yeah.
when do you say like, yeah. hey, this has been a great date. I want to talk, like do it again. I looked at my phone. This was like 4 hours later. Yeah. I had a message from this person an hour later that said, hey, I had a lot of fun. I hope we can do this again sometime soon. And then once again, 2 hours later, this is all in the app. This wasn't like text message because as a rule of thumb, don't exchange your numbers unless you're, you know, sure this person's going to be like a multi-date person.
Okay. Yeah.
And a second message 2 hours later that said, I think we should do this again sometime. Like, it was great to meet you. And a message 3 hours later that said, yikes, I don't think that you felt the same way. This is kind of weird. And then 4 hours later, I got a notification saying that this person unmatched me on the app. So not really embarrassed. So it's like, I might have had like felt like a connection with this person, but I was just busy.
She didn't give you a chance to ever do that.
She never gave me a chance. And like, who knows, this could have been like the one in a million lottery chance of a connection, but it never was given a chance.
Let me take this opportunity to say, let's, as an overall piece of advice for you, the listener, be it man, woman, dog, child, parrot.
Listen up, Leo.
Turtle.
Ooh, especially turtle.
Manage your fucking anxiety. Manage your anxiety.
Yeah.
Because this woman had...
Take a moment.
Obviously had anxiety about whether or not Hurley was into her or not.
Mm-hmm.
And her way to manage that was to externalize it and send him a bunch of fucking messages and hope for a reply.
And then rage quit.
And then rage quit.
Nicely done.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm out of here. Yep.
So let's be mindful of our anxiety, everybody. Yeah, it's something true. That I've talked about in previous episodes and something that I'm sure I'll get in trouble with on future episodes from here. Manage your fucking anxiety.
And that was...
Everybody.
Final thoughts with Jonathan Miller?
Yeah. And my final thoughts are, there's no crystal balls. Don't predict the future. Forgive yourself for whatever energy you have in the moment. If your energy is to be on dating apps and like play that game, yeah. do it.
Yeah.
And do it with intention. If it's not, then that's fine. You know, like that's not the only way to be a man or be a human or a woman.
I like that. I like live in the middle space.
Yeah.
The uncomfortable
space.
Do
what you can do.
Live in the uncomfortable space as long as you can do it and then go back to the shore once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying I know how to do this. I'm not saying I'm doing it right. The whole dating thing. I mean, that's kind of been the impetus of the last couple episodes. But live in the middle space. Go be intentional about going into the uncomfortable places. Be uncomfortable as long as you can. Go back to the shore when you need to.
Yeah.
Go back out into the breakers when you need to.
It's all going to work out in the end. Just keep at it. Or you die.
Brian, you and I had a conversation.
Yeah,
it's not going to all work out by the end. You live in your place where you are. You be happy in the breakers or you be happy on the shore.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to that, when you get to those pearly gates, that's going to be it. Like you,
that's working out.
It's going to end at some point.
That's working out.
You can't expect that someday I'm going to get to a point where it's all great and it's all happy and then I'm going to live happily ever after forever. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's not life. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable and move to a place that you can manage when you have to.
Mm-hmm.
That's life. That's it.
I think this is a good point to wrap up.
Yeah, I'd like to say thank you so much for listening to this episode. Make sure you follow us on Twitter @BadWeatherPod. DMs are open if you got any topics you'd like us to cover. Thank you so much, you guys. Bye.
Take care of yourself. I wanna forget.
Everything sucks.